good morning. Man, I hope you were blessed. I know I was. Thank you for that word, Larissa. And I'm just excited where we are right now as a church, and just like hearing what God has for us as a church here at Brighton Heights, and where we're going, and where he's taking us, but where we're moving forward. Amen. And I'm just excited for that. Just two things I just want to draw your attention to before we jump into God's word. And yesterday, we had 44 families receive food at our food pantry. So thank you to the food pantry crew that did that. That's a little bit north of our numbers. So praise God that the people are meeting needs within the community. So that's what it's about, really, is reaching out. And then also, I want to ask your prayers for Pastor Gary, as he's in Pakistan, and he's doing good. He's doing okay. So, but I want to ask you as his church that we lift him up in his travels for his safety and protection, but also lifting up Donna and the Paladin family as well, that we lift them up in this time as well, okay? Can we do that? So let's pray right now. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for who you are. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. We thank you that you will never leave us. And in this place this morning, Lord, I just pray that you would, as your Holy Spirit is already here, that would fall fresh upon us, open our hearts and our minds and our ears to receive your word. I pray blessing upon Pastor Gary and protection upon him as he travels across over in Pakistan. Lord, I pray for the Paladin family right now. I pray that you bless them in these days. And Lord, we thank you for the 44 families that were fed yesterday. And as we look out, that it's the church is beyond these walls, and there's people out there that need to have the hope of you. So Father, bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was a youth pastor and going into my first year as a kind of a senior pastor, if you will, I had the opportunity to travel to Haiti. How many of you have ever been to Haiti? One person or two people. Okay. I love it. Okay. So when I was going to Haiti, you know, Mel and I were just like, she's just praying, like we're gonna make sure we're you know, communicating with each other. And she has her phone and our update plans. We're contacting the cell phone provider and making sure. And so when I call, I have this certain time I can call, make sure your phone's on and you take my call. So we get to Haiti, we land, we get to our place, we get to the orphanage where we're staying. And I get there, and you know, I was like, oh, I forgot to do this. I'm gonna call Melanie. She'll be able to like send it over or whatever, send it through, you know, to the right places. And sure enough, I take my cell phone, I give her a call, goes right to voicemail. I'm like, oh, it must be something else, right? She knows I'm in Haiti, right? Like, she should be ready to pick up that phone if I call. I called again, right to voicemail. I'm like, what is going on? And so almost the entire trip that I'm in Haiti, she doesn't pick up the phone. My wife is ghosting me. I'm like, what's going on here? So I just come to find out, like, her phone was, like, she had the settings turned off. She didn't have, you know, whatever it was. But, like, I started to get in my mind, is like, is she really ghosting me? Is she, like, not picking up the phone? Is she looking on there, it says husband Ben Kendrew, and she's not picking up? You know, have you ever done that where you see a caller, and you're like, nope, I'm not taking that right now, or you just hit ignore. Come on, like, tell the truth. Have you ever do that? Thank you, Dave. Dave put his hand up so fast. I don't know if you could feel the wind. So we have all done that. We're all guilty of that. That at some point we're not taking that call. And sometimes here's an image I want to show you. Sometimes when God calls us in our lives, he wants to has a message for us. Like, I've never literally had a call from God, like on a phone call. But a spiritual sense, like when God is calling us and he's tugging in our heart and the Holy Spirit is moving, what do we do sometimes? Not right now. I'm busy. Not right now. I'm in a bad, I need my coffee first. You know, maybe you're one of those folks. But we sometimes will ignore when God is tugging and moving in our hearts. And we won't take God's call in our life. We're going to say, okay, it's God. Nope, I'm not going to do that. And that's the reality. And we sing and we praise and we give God the glory. But there are times in our life when God is trying to get our attention and we just simply ignore, don't we? I'm guilty of that. I'm preaching to myself that we all do that. Now, here's the thing. God is I'm telling you this morning. Like, wake your neighbor up if they're sleeping already. If you're sleeping already, you might need to go to the doctor. But God wants to get your attention. God is calling you up and forward into something bigger than yourself. and it's called the church. Now, it's an old mission, like Doug said last week. He, like, you know, kind of summarized what I was talking about. It's the same mission Jesus gave in Matthew 28. It's just a different method in the way which we do it in 2026, right? And so that's what we're called to do. God is calling each one of us. He's calling you. If you look, I don't know, maybe he's calling you right now. I don't know. But I want to encourage you, don't hit ignore. Don't hit the ignore button. Don't turn off your phone. Don't shut out your ears and your eyes and your heart. Because I believe this, that God is wanting you to do big things here in our lives, in our church, and in this community. But we can't do it by ourselves. I can't do it by myself. I can only do so much, right? And Aaron can only do so much. And you know, Leanne can only do so much. And so on and so forth. Like, we can only do so much, but we're stronger together. And so that's why Jesus gave the commission of a mission to go out and make disciples and baptizing them. And that's what we're called to do. So I'm begging you to not hit ignore. The tension is this, is that we're tempted to hit that ignore button on a regular basis. We do that. And so I'm asking you, don't do that. There is just an amazing story that I love. In your Old Testament, if you have your Bibles, it'll be on the screen. The Old Testament prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah is having this, I don't know if he had something bad shrimp or whatever it was, a bad something to eat, but it was, I'm just kidding, that wasn't it. That was meant to be a joke. But he's a prophet. He's a spokesperson for the Lord. He's speaking to God's people. He's calling God's people to repent. He's like a Moses, right? He's like a Moses type figure. But in this time, he's calling God's people to come back. And so he has this kind of vision, and he hears God's call, if you will, in his life. In the year King Uzziah died, it gives you a very specific date, a very specific time in history. It's marked. It's for sure happened. And Isaiah has this vision of the Lord seated high and exalted in the temple. And there's seraphim. Those are types of angelic beings. If you Google them, they look terrifying. And you know, when you read in the Old Testament or anytime in the Bible, when you encounter the angels, what do they say? Do not be afraid. There's a reason for that. They're not little cherubim babies. They look different. And so he has this vision, and he sees these angels all around him crying out, singing out like we just sang today, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty." And as he began to sing, the whole earth was filled with his glory. Can you imagine that image? And so as Isaiah has this vision, God is trying to get his attention. God's kind of pulling back the curtain to see, like, what is going on here? He's getting his attention. Isaiah is like, all right, I'm going to take this call, see what's going on. And so as he sees these angels singing, lifting God up and singing him, the earth is filled with his glory. The foundations of the earth, we talked about foundations last week, begin to shake. They begin to shake, and the temple is filled with his smoke and his glory and his presence. And Isaiah is like, wow, God is here. God is here. And so as he encounters this experience, as he has this experience and he looks at it, he's overwhelmed by God. When was the last time you were overwhelmed by God? He's overwhelmed by God's holiness and who God is like and what he's like. He's moved. He's moved to the point where he becomes deeply aware of his own sin and his stink. Have you ever worked so hard sometimes you're like, ooh, what is that? You know, the Old Spice isn't working right now. He's so aware of, because of how holy God is, he's profoundly aware of how unholy and sinful he is. And so he has this encounter with God. And so as he's deeply moved, his own sinfulness, he cries out. He cries out in a way. And these angels, these seraphim, they come and they bring this like burning coal, and they touch his lips from the altar. There was this altar and they had coals there, and he takes the coals from the altar and they purify. Larissa was just talking about repentance, turning back to God. But in this thing, he purifies his who he is and offers forgiveness by that purification, by touching his lips. And so he was profoundly aware of his sinfulness and brokenness. He was overwhelmed by God. I want to be overwhelmed by God this morning. I do. I want that for you as well. Isaiah hears the word and asks this. He hears God speaking. Amazing to hear that. I have never personally audibly heard the word of God. Like Ben, go to Brighton Heights. Leave Ohio. I'd never heard that, but I felt the tugging in my heart. I felt the nudging of the Holy Spirit. I felt that. But here's what Isaiah gets. He goes, he hears the Lord. The Lord's kind of saying, like, he's putting out this question, whom shall I send? Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And Isaiah responds willingly, here am I, send me. And so Isaiah's not sure what he signed up for, but he's jacked up. He's ready to go. He's all in, right? He's ready to go. I'm gonna commit to this. And so God commissions Isaiah, almost like a Moses-like figure, to go and deliver this message to Israel that they might probably reject. Some might reject. Some might not be able to hear it. They'll hear it but not understand it. Some might perceive it, but not truly. They'll begin to pass judgment. And then some will be, there will be like this resignation and devastation. But there will be a portion of God's people that it will take, that portion of God's word will take, and its holiness and God's people will remain. And so it's, again, it's a pattern the way God communicates. He sends like these figures, a Moses-like person. Now he's sending Isaiah, calling people back to repentance. And he's overwhelmed by God. And we're at a place right now, church, that my hope and prayer is we move forward as a church, and we move forward and get beyond ourselves. We get like, we want to help people and tell people and serve 44 more families, right? And help other people become disciples. Like, we're going to be overwhelmed. And so if you have your Bibles, this is our Vision Sunday. Isaiah 6:1-2 says this. I'm literally going to read this to you now. Verse 1 says this. It was in the year King Uzziah died, and that I saw the Lord, Isaiah speaking. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Attending him were mighty seraphim, each having 6 wings, with 2 wings covering their faces and 2 that covered their feet, and then 2 they flew. I know, it's weird. Isaiah 6:3, it says this. They were calling out to each other, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory. And so as we talk about what it means to be called, to be a church that's called out to go and do things and to be on mission, to have vision, the first one to be called is, it says, I saw the Lord. He declared that. Isaiah said, I saw the Lord. He saw the Lord. He had a vision, like he overheard this experience. So many times we're so overwhelmed and concerned about performance and our busyness that we're not so concerned about God's presence in our life. That's all that matters to us. And His presence, He wants to be with us. We should just want to be in His presence. And so that's who God is. That's what God is like. That's what God is calling the church to. To be in his presence. And so the most important thing that he sees here in this vision, he goes, I saw the Lord. He wasn't so busy that he was able to take the call, right? He wasn't so busy that he said, I saw the Lord. And so he saw these seraphim, these angels, and he overheard heaven. I can't even imagine what that would have been like. Can't imagine. And so he overheard heaven, and he got this kind of peek behind the curtain to see what God was like. And that's what God is like. That he wants to see us and know us. So Isaiah gets this opportunity to do that. And so when you think about the Christian faith, when you think about Christianity, it's not about trying to please God. It's not about doing all these things. But the more we do, the more check boxes we go through and all these other things. But it's not about duty, but it's rather about how Jesus pleased the Father. Right? And so as Jesus was about that, that's where we should be about. We should be about pleasing God and living holy lives and repenting from our stuff and taking ownership and stepping out into our faith more and more to help and serve. The consumer Christianity has no place in the church. But so often it's just accepted, just the way it is. Like, I'm just going to be a consumer. That's not what God is calling us to. And so this amazing vision that Isaiah has, that's not one with consumer. There's calling involved there. And so I believe that's what God is calling us to do. And John 14, Jesus says this, 14:21, those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And so, you know, if you with your kids and your spouse, like you're interacting and communicating and you tell them things, like, and they listen, they're going to do it because they love you, right? They love you. And then it says, and because they love me, my Father will love them. And Jesus says, I will love them and reveal. Say reveal. I will reveal myself to each of them. And so that's who God is that he has this mission, and he wants to reveal himself to us. As he did in the Old Testament, as he did in the New Testament, he wants to reveal himself to you and call you to be part of his mission. And it is to tell people about the hope that is in his son, Jesus. And that's the vision, and that's our mission. It's the same. The methods might be different. The music is certainly different. But at the heart of what we're about here as the church, in the greater church, it's about going and making disciples in Matthew 28. That's what we're called to do. And so this kind of verse here that we see, it's about first loving God. It's about first loving God, and then it's about obedience. And so Isaiah was moved, and he began to understand who he was, and he'd fallen short, but he loved God. The angels loved God. They began to worship him. And so that's where it starts. Are you in a relationship right now where you're overwhelmed, where you love God? That we might sing it and say it, but do we truly live it out in our lives? And that's what we're called to. And so Isaiah gets it. And so as he moves forward in this, it's hard to describe what the color blue is. It's hard for me to describe the sunset on my honeymoon on Sanibel Island when you had to be there. Right? It's hard for me to describe to you what Melanie looked like, how gorgeous she was, and I almost buckled my knees and falling when she came through. Like, I can give you those details, but I can't give you all the details. And so that's what Isaiah is giving us. He's doing the best he can to describe to us what he saw and what he encountered. But don't miss the point. He's inviting us and showing us God is an inviting God. God is a loving God who calls us into relationship, and he calls us to step up and further in. And so he's limited his experience. And so I can't explain to you everything, but I can tell you what Scripture says, and I can speak from my experience, and you can speak from your experience, but we know that God is a loving God, and we know that God calls us to be the church, and God is calling us here at Brighton Heights to do more for him. Not out of dutiful things, not of dutiful obligation, but out of worship and out of adoration because of who he is. Amen? Isaiah chapter 6, verse 4 through 7. Says this: their voices shook the temple to its foundation. The entire building was filled with smoke. Then that the smoke represented his presence. Then I said, it's all over. I am doomed. I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips. I am among a people with filthy lips. And yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies. And so the second mark of someone that is called is they realize they're doomed, they're ruined, they're undone, and otherwise they understand their sinfulness. They understand how they've fallen short and their need for a Savior. That's what someone who's called do. We're people that attend here. This is people that have understanding, we need Jesus. We don't have it all together. I don't have it all together, right? And so I need Jesus. I'm undone. I need him every single day. I want to be moved. I want to have that encounter. And so I pray that in those things, in my own brokenness, that I'm going to cry out just like Isaiah did, like God's people did. Are you in the place this morning where you're crying out to God, hear me? I don't know what you're going through. I know some of you have physical ailments. Some of you got family stuff, family drama that you're going through. Cry out to him. He hears you. I just lost my mentor and father figure, Tony Salvatore, dear man who performed the ceremony for Melanie and I and baptized Luke, or dedicated Luke, and just dear friend to me. But I was so moved. He had this life where he was a Vietnam vet. He was on drugs, terrible cocaine and heroin addict. He had an encounter with Jesus, and he understood his brokenness. And then he became a pastor. Yesterday, there were hundreds of people at that memorial service. And so I'm just moved. We understand our sinful and brokenness, but we also understand our need for a Savior. Are you that this morning? Understanding your brokenness and your need for a Savior. Now, we might not be drug addicts. We might not have different things, but we're all falling short. And we all have stuff that we need to rely on. And so God calls us. What I like in this story is that there's this cleansing that happens. When we're called, this cleansing happens. This repentance happens. When Moses was crying, when Isaiah was crying out, they took the coal and they touched his lips and they cleansed him. And they brought this new confidence that Moses, or I keep saying Moses, I'm sorry, that Isaiah did not have. And so the call of God should overwhelm us, but it's something we should give our life for, that we should give our life for. And so there was this place, this grace to the place where we think disqualifies us. That's where Isaiah was. He felt disqualified, and God qualified him by touching his lips. use that. And so oftentimes we don't think like we have the qualifications to do what God is asking us to do. Like, I can't do that. But God qualifies us. That's where God wants to cleanse you. He wants to meet you in that place where you feel least qualified. Where do you feel most disqualified right now to do what God is asking you to do? Maybe there's an area of your life, or maybe there's something you're still working off that you feel like it's disqualifying you to do ministry or to do things better, or maybe be part of your family to show up, right? But we all have an area of our lives that we believe disqualifies us. But here's the thing, God qualifies us. God qualifies you. And it leads, like, when we understand our brokenness and who he is, but then it realizes that we're need for him, that he is the one who qualifies us. One of the quotes I like is this, that the two most important days of your life are the day you were born and the day you realize why you were born. And then usually when you become a Christian, you try to spend the rest of your life trying to figure out what God has called you to do. And you kind of align and you go through different seasons of ministry. And justification is that process in which we're sanctification is that process in which we're becoming more and more like Jesus. And so we spend the rest of our days trying to figure it out. In Isaiah 6, 8 through 9, it says this, "Then I heard the Lord asking, 'Whom shall I send as a messenger to his people? Who will go for us?' I said, 'Here I am, send me.' And he said, 'Yes, go and stay with his people.'" And so the third statement of those that are qualified is we have this attitude of, "Here I am, send me." It's this willingness, it's obedience. Send me. I don't know what you're signing me up for, but I'm going to go. When I got my call to ministry, I knew that it wasn't going to be lucrative. I knew it was going to be hard. I didn't know how hard. I didn't know how lucrative. All those things, right? But I was all in. I left everything behind. I had a plan. I was going to school for a different thing. But when Jesus entered my life, I was like, I'm all in. I want that. I haven't looked back. And it hasn't always been easy, but it's been beautiful, right? And so Isaiah in this text, he overhears the Lord, and there's a pattern, right? He says Isaiah saw the Lord. He has this vision. Then he experienced the Lord's glory. He had an experience with God, and then he's overheard the Lord's invitation. And so listen, God is inviting us to be part of what he is trying to do. God is always inviting, but will we listen? Will we listen to what God is doing? Or are we going to just say, yeah, I'm going to ignore that. I got things to do. I'm tired. Or it's snowing outside. I'm so glad you're here this morning, by the way. And so some calls are not directives. They're invitations. Sometimes when God puts a call in our lives, they're not like a directive like, go to Haiti. No, sometimes it's just an invitation. It's like, be part of this local church. Figure out a way to connect. Figure out a way to serve one another. Be the best where I'm sending you. And so I know when I got the call for ministry, I signed up. But as I later went on in my life, God was more specific in where he was leading me. He called me to full-time ministry, and so that was where I went. And so, again, these statements of the call, if God is calling us to be on point and as a church, he says this, I saw the Lord. I am doomed and undoomed and ruined, and here I am. And so it's this invitation for us as a church to jump in with what God is doing. And so what are we saying yes to as a church? What are we, like, where are we going as a church? This is where I'm inviting you to. I'm inviting you to go with me and the leaders. We had this image last week of all our leaders and our core team. And some of you came forward. Some of you were not sure yet, and that's okay. But we're just inviting you to do life together, to do ministry. And this is what we're called to. You're going to have an opportunity in a second here. But this is every year we do an annual report. And there is a QR code. If you tap the little tap card on the front, you can download the annual report, 2025 annual report. If you would like a hard copy, you can also hit that QR code, leave that up for a little bit. But if you would like a hard copy, they're in the back at the connection point. Hodge, could you wave your hand for those that don't know where the connection point? It's under the label that says connection point. So there we go. So here's what we're doing. First, what are we about? What is the mission and the vision of Bridge City Church? And so this is what it says. I'm going to take that QR code down and put the mission. And so at Bridge City Church, we exist so that as many people as possible will begin a relationship with God and become fully devoted followers of Jesus. And that is really based on Matthew 28, and there's some other verses in there, but it's the same mission. It's just like packaged differently, right? And so here's some stats. What are we done? What have we done this past year? Where have we gone as a church in total? Well, you look at the baptisms that we have. First, it says baptisms at Brighton Heights. We had 7. I know it's highlighted in North Braddock. Good for them, right? That's good. Cheering them on, our brothers and sisters over there. But Brighton Heights is at the top there. We had 7 baptisms here in 2025. Praise the Lord for that. We should be applauding for that. That people decided to take that next step, to have a public acknowledgement of their inward faith and an outward expression of what Jesus has done, their old self going under and their new self coming up. We had 7 of those. And we want to increase that, amen? We want more people to be baptized. As a church as a whole, we had 96 total across Bridge City Church that were baptized, almost 100. Yeah, amen. Salvations across the whole church. Last year in 2025, we had 251 people come to the Lord to have a relationship with Jesus, to cross the bridge. So 251 folks did that. At Brighton Heights, we had 28 people for the first time accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, forgiver and leader. Our weekly attendance as a church on average was 781, but here at the Brighton Heights campus was 114. And there's always room to grow. We're always wanting, pastors are generally never satisfied with the attendance. They want to see more people in. Not because numbers matter. Numbers are souls, but not because of the numbers matter, because we want people to come in and experience Jesus, experience you, experience worship. That's why numbers matter in that way. So we had that that number there. So weekly attendance was 114. Here at Brighton Heights. So we're praying for that to continue to move north and continue to grow. Amen. Kingdom Builders. Kingdom Builders is our missions effort. So we take a weekly tithes and offerings that goes to the work of the ministry, that goes to the work of what's happening here at Brighton Heights and what's happening with Bridge City Church. But Kingdom Builders is this missions initiative that is both global and it's also local. In which we give to different ministries, and it's amazing what God's people did. This is going above and beyond what we do in tithes and offerings. This is joyful and generous giving. This is understanding that the kingdom is so much bigger. Like the Kiln families, where Pastor Gary is now, the amount of money that was raised there, that was mind-blowing. But look at our numbers here. The total raised for the year, $184,699 that was sent, 107.31, and so 51,700 was sent so far to Pakistan in 2026 for those Kiln families. Amen. You are doing that. Out of your generosity, you're reaching people and you're making an impact for eternity. You're making heaven bigger. You're making hell smaller out of just giving. Look what God can do when you're obedient in that way. Our income. If we could put up that next slide, the income. This is the income for Bridge City Church, a little over $2 million for the year. And you can kind of see that as it breaks down where it's given and where it went. So, again, I'm not going to read through those numbers, but you can see where every dollar is going, and there's a direction for every dollar. What we're called to do in God's kingdom is to use that money wisely, to be good stewards of that. So that's where we are. And so that's the income. Now, if we go to the Brighton Heights tithe and offering slide, should be the next one. In 2024, you can see $269,541. And then this year, this past year, it was a little lower than that, $221,303. And if you can see that little arrow in that percentage, it's 18% down from 2024. Now, as I said last week, we really want to be a congregation that gives joyfully and generously. The people that are in this room, if we just gave a regular tithe and offering, we have enough to go in the black and to do some great things. We have enough to cover these expenses if we just gave and tithe to what we're supposed to. And I want to encourage you to do that. I'm not handing out tickets to a guilt trip. I'm encouraging you. I'm inviting you to give and watch what God will do through your obedience, right? It's amazing what will happen. So I'm praying that as a church, that we understand that giving is not just an act of duty, but it's also an act of worship. It's Martin Luther said there's the conversion of the head and the heart, but it's also the conversion of the pocketbook. that shows a life that's truly surrendered to Jesus. And so I want to encourage you, like, watch what God will do when you step out in faith and give joyfully and generously. And good things will happen to your life. Here's the thing, BC expenses, we can put that slide up now. So the expenses were a little bit more than what we brought in. So there are, you know, again, a little over $2 million, but we have ministries that are being taken care of. There were expenses, greater than expenses, that happened at our North Braddock campus that we had to take care of, so some of that money went there. And so that's in this report for you. Again, the hard copy is in the back, and if you like a digital copy, you can do that. So, Joe, if you could put that QR code up there for me for the annual report, you could just leave that open. And so there are initiatives that I talked about last week that I gave specific for our campus, and they were this. If you weren't here last week, our goal and hope and prayer is that we have a vibrant and growing children's BC kids and BC students. For the reason of impacting families, local families, we had a Halloween outreach this past year. 1,300 families went up and down the sidewalk in front of our church. There is a harvest, there are souls, there are people that need the hope in Jesus Christ. And so that is our hope, that we have people. Katrina's down here in the front. It's so good to see you up here and get a chance to just hear, you know, and Jared. So, but we want to help. We want to pour into these ministries so families can have that hope. With Charisse and Jake and Kaylee, with our students, we want our students, our teenagers, middle school and high school kids to experience Jesus. And so that's the number one. We really want to focus on that. Number two is this, is that we want to have a culture of generous, that is generous and that it's inviting, that we're warm and winsome and not weird. That when people come and they encounter Jesus and they don't kind of see us, they encounter us too, but they see Jesus first. And then the third thing is this, there's an urgency of now. This isn't something we're going to plan to do in 2027. Guess what? There's ministries right now that need to happen. There's usher teams that need to be filled. There's people that could come up here and be on the praise and worship team. Joel is down here. He's down here in the seats. He's not up in the balcony. He needs help. And so I love that. Our other production team. So there's opportunities for you. Next Sunday, March 1st, immediately following the service, back in the cafe, it's going to be brief, we're going to have Join a Team Sunday. Join a Team Sunday. When? Next Sunday, right after the church. It's going to be brief. There's not going to be food, no soups or casseroles or anything like that. But there's going to be high top tables with a leader standing by. Katrina will be at her table. She'll love to talk to you about BC kids. And could, you know, so all the ministries that are there, there's an opportunity for you to hear what they're going to do or what they're about and where the needs are. And there's an opportunity for you to sign up. God is calling you to stand up and be part of his church, to do something, to not be consumer Christians, but to get involved. Amen. I want to invite you to stand, and I want to read this verse to you. This is my life ministry verse that God gave to me many years ago. It's what I cling to when I have doubts. It's what I cling to when I have joy. It's what I cling to in ministry. I want to share this with you, and I hope that you can see that this is where God is calling us. 1 Corinthians 15:58. It's not on the slide. It says this. Paul speaking to the church at Corinth. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, and know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Say, not in vain. What we're doing is not in vain. What we're doing is not in vain. It matters. Eternally, it matters. You matter. God wants you to join him. Will you join him today? Will you join him and step up and step in obedience and realize that God wants you to be overwhelmed by him? And if you're overwhelmed by him, you're not going to be afraid to step up and step in the Spirit. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray right now for this church, for these wonderful people. Lord, that you would open the eyes of our heart, that you would give us the ears to hear, that we could see you at work, that we would ignore the call on our life, that we would accept that call and listen to that call and step into that call. We'd be on mission and we'd be focused. So, Father, help us as a church. Help us at Bridge City Brighton Heights to not just be about what goes on in here, but also what goes on out there. Help us to take the Great Commission and move it forward. Help us to love one another deeply and kindly, to laugh with each other, to weep with each other. But Lord, help us to be a church that is on mission, that we will take the call, but we will hear your call, and we will stand up and we will go. So Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to worship you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.